This week's Thrown Away has been sponsored by Family Lewin, the Freudian Shell, Avraham Baruch Reshner, and Rachel Lewin, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Lamed Sivan, Wednesday, 20th of June, Rabbi Eli Pick, Tame Hamikro.
There is a famous French expression. Don't speak French. C'est le temps que fait la musique. My mothers have always used to say to me, it's not what you say, it's the way you say it. But there's no such expression in quite any other language, so it's often used. It's the way you say something. And when we read from the Sefer Torah, we don't have commas, full stops, exclamation marks, as such. But what we do have is the Megillah, the Tameh HaMikra. And sometimes, you know, one comma can make all the difference in any language. I mean, when a boy goes on a shidduch and they say afterwards, Ervil Zinish, sometimes there's a comma in the middle, Ervil Zinish. And it changes the meaning completely. There was once a restaurant which wanted to write the ingredients of some goat's cheese salad which they were serving. So they wrote ingredients, lettuce, tomato, goats, cheese. You know, that's a problem with bus of the collar. Well, have you ever driven along in a road and you've seen a sign which says, slow children crossing? So the Gemara Megillah Daf Gimel talks about the Pasuk in Nehemiah Vayavinu Bamikra. And Rashi there says, these are the Negilas. The Gemara says, Piskei HaTamim. This is the Tameh HaMikra. That the musical notes which we sing when we're reading from the Sefer Torah have a very integral and important and significant role when we are reading the Sefer Torah. So much so that the Sefer Chassidim Rabbi Yehuda Chosid brings down that the musical notes are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And this a similar sentiment is expressed by Rabbeinu Bechaye, where he says in Bereishis Perkei, "Vayei dovar zeh kal beinecho," don't let this be something which is light in your eyes. The whole Torah is full of these hints with Yonim Sechliim. Gam Atamim Nosnu Misinai, and these Tamim were given on Har Sinai. And in the Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Kuf Mem Beis, it's brought down that if a person makes a mistake when he's learning from the Sefer Torah, if he changes the meaning, in Tov and Megina Satam, in Machzir Nosa. You don't make him go back if he makes a mistake with the Meginas. You do make him go back if there's a mistake in the meaning. And we'll go on if he makes a mistake with an Aginus, you should tell him off afterwards. Politely, of course. And the Mishnah Berurah says, Kesha Inyan Mishtane, when the whole subject changes as a result of the Aginus, Machzirino, so we do make him go back. And Rav Shlomach brings down in Chelek Beis of his Tshuvas, from that the brisker robbers Machmeh to make the Baal Kerek go back, even when the Aginus was sung wrongly. And you can give any simple examples about where you're putting this comma, so to speak, or the esnachdo. In Pashas Chayesor, the Pasuk says, Vayomar, Eliezer says, Eved Avraham Anochi. If you sing it wrongly and you say, Vayomar Eved Avraham Anochi, then you really change the meaning. Or in Pashas Toldos, where the servants of Yitzchok wanted to tell him that they found water, it says, Vayomar Lo Motsonim Boyim. It's a Merachot Tipcho, Vayomar Lo, he said to him, Motsonim Boyim. But if a Baal Kerah just says, Vayomru, and then lo motzorimoyim, then he's changed the meaning completely. Let's take the very first pasuk of the Torah. Everyone is familiar with Bereishis bara Elokim, Eis Hashamayim v'Eis Haaretz. And logically, the neginus for such a pasuk could simply be Bereishis bara Elokim, Eis Hashamayim v'Eis Haaretz. And what's the reason for the asnachta there? Why do you need this policeman's helmet as it's shaped? But what do we have? We have Bereishis with a tikcha. Bereishis bara Elokim. So Bereishis is divorced from the bara Elokim. Why? Says the Rabbeinu Bechaye. It's quite simple. Because nobody should say, as the Apikorsim do say, that Bereishis bara Elokim, that Chas v'Shalom Bereishis created Hashem. Obviously Hashem created Bereishis. So the verb of bara swings onto the Elokim. Because it's Hashem who did the creating. And when the Septuagint took place under King Ptolemy and the 70 or 72 rabbis who were told separately to translate the Torah, they all wrote Elokim Bara Bereishis. So that Nabuchodonosor should suddenly say, oh, you see, it was the Bereishis which created Chas v'Shalom Elokim. And why the Esnachta? They don't really need an Esnachta in the middle of the Pasuk. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, because we want to put the emphasis on the fact that Hashem created Reishis, and then Shemayim Haaretz, he also created. But nobody should say that there was some big bang, and there was some Reishis, and then afterwards Hashem created Shemayim Haaretz. So that Esnachto tells you that the real emphasis is on Reishis. That's very Shemayim Chazal about Reishis, Yisrael, and Chalor, and so on. All these things which are Nikra Reishis. And the Pesuk in Ra'ei, everyone is familiar with the beginning of the Parsha, Halaheima Ba'eva Hayadei, and it says Acharei, and then it says Derech. Now normally when you've got the words Acharei Derech, you'll go Acharei Derech, after the way. But Rashi there points out that you've got a Pashto on Acharei, and a Pashto is what's called a Mafsik, it stops something, and then afterwards you've got a Yasiv, which starts something new. So what we're being told is, it's not that it's beyond the road towards the sunset, Acharei Derech Mevar Shemesh. The Acharei is going on what was spoken about before, which was the Eiver Hayardein. And Acharei is and yonder, pause, and then Derech Mevar Shemesh. So Rashi makes a big play on the Neginas here. And even Halachas we get hinted at in the Neginas. In Parshas Emor, when we talk about the din of Sfiras HaOmer, Sheva Shabbosos Tumimos Tiyeno Tisperu Chamishim Yom, so you shall count 7 complete weeks. So it says Tisperu Chamishim Yom. We translate that as saying you will count 50 days. But we don't count 50 days, we count 49 days. Alright, we've got Teresh Shebal Peh, we've got Chazal to tell us that you're really counting 49 days. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, it's in the Neginas. It's Tisperu Chamishim Yom. Tisperu goes on the clause before, which is the Sheva Shabbosos Tumimos, which is 49 days. And he says then the Chamishim Yom goes on the next bit, which is Minchot Chadoshot Hashem, which is the 50th day, which is Shavuos. So you've got in the Neginas, instead of Tisperu Chamishim Yom, you've got Tisperu Chamishim Yom, just in order to tell you that you're not counting 50 days, you're counting the 49, which we alluded to before. And there are countless Mamori Chazal, which are hinted at in the Neginas. There's a Sefer called Tamei Atamim, there's another one called Tapuchei Chaim, and the Neginas are very often quoted in various Mefarshim to show up the Mamori Chazal. There's one interesting one in Bereishis, Perek Gimel, which talks about Chava eating from the forbidden fruit. So the snake has enticed her, she has eaten from the fruit, but she hasn't quite yet given it to her husband. So the Pasuk says, Vatitein gam le'isha, she gave it to her husband, to Odom, and it's got a dargah and a sevir. Vatitein gam le'isha. What's the idea of a dargah and a sevir? A sevir comes from shedo, which means to break. She wanted to break her husband. What does that mean? Rashi says that she saw that she was going to die, and she thought, oh, mate, if I die and he doesn't die, then he'll go off with another woman. I can't let that happen. So I've got to make sure that he dies as well. And therefore, she said, I'll give him the fruit in order that he dies as well. So that's why we've got the dargo and the sevir, because the sevir is to break. It's a lashon shavira or miso. As Rashi says, Sheyeri the Magrib, Rosso the Yomus Gamhu, that he should die as well. Talking about this subject, one has to include something, even though everybody probably knows it already, and that's the Vilna Gaon at the beginning of Vayigash. Vayigash Enov, Yehudo, a Tekadmon and Azva, and a Revia. Vayigash Enov, Kadmon and Azva, and the Revia is the foursome note on Yehudo. Vayomer v'adoni, and then you've got a zarko, munach sego. Says the Vilna Gaon, we know that Yehuda was the fourth son, and yet the first son was Reuven. Why didn't Reuven step forward and argue with Yosef? After all, Reuven was the Bechor. But Yehuda stepped forward. Why did Yehuda step forward? Because he promised his father, I will give up my olam haba if Binyamin does not come back. And that, therefore, was the reason why Yehuda stepped forward. So that shot we find in the Neginas. Vayigash Elov Yehuda, Kazmov Azlo, Kodam Ozal, Kodam he proceeded, he came forward, but Ozal he went. Revia, the fourth son, Yehuda. Why? Because Zarkom, Munaf Segel, because he was throwing away Zarek, Munach, resting place, Segel Segula, of his redemption, of his Olam Haba. He was foregoing his Olam Haba had he not done so. And that is why, as explained in the Neginas, we've got that kind of cancellation. And there's another one which is interesting from the Vilna Gaon by the Morris Chayehem, in Shemos by the Morris Chayehem is also a Kadmova Aslan. Why? Because Chazal say that the Shibud was so bad, it was reduced. It was reduced down, we should have been there 400 years, we were there 210 years, so it was 190 less. So by Yomorah's Chayim is Kadmov Azla, it proceeded, it brought things forward. Says the Chacham Tzvi, Kadmov Azla is the Gematria of 190. So the Shibud was brought forward that we had 190 years less because of its severity, because of by Yomorah's Chayim. There's another interesting one with Vilna Gaon says in Devarim Tesuv, Kiposach Tiftach, when you give tzedakah, it's Kiposach Tiftach, it's a Dargah Sevir. And the story in Gemara Baba Basra Daf Yud about Rav Papa who slipped and he broke his foot on some steps. And so Rav Hanina said to him, have you ignored any poor people who are coming your way? What's pshat? Because when you break your foot on the step, Dargah Sevir, so the Dargah is a step, Sevir is to break. It's a simon that maybe you haven't been giving tzedakah properly because it's on Kiposach Tiftach. Sometimes we find a situation where you get two important neginas on one word. Quite rarely so, but the example in Shemini is Kirvu. So you've got both a Talisha Gedola and a Gershayim, although you name the Gershayim first. So you go Kirvu. There are only two places like this in the Torah. One is in Shemini, another one is when Noach was born at the end of Bereshit. Why do we have two neginas on one word? It says the Bnei HaShlamet to tell you that there is really a missing word. Not Chas HaShalom, a missing word from the Torah. There's nothing missing. But there would have been another word, but it was considered by Hashem undesirable to put it in those circumstances. The missing word, or the supposed missing word, is Ukevarum, and bury them. But because of the simcha of the inauguration of the Mishkan, it really felt right to put in the word Ukevarum, so it's hinted at. So you have two neginas on one word to hint at the other word which is hidden. And similarly, at the end of Bereshis, when Noach is born, Zeya Nachamenu, what's the shat? You've got there also the same idea of these neginas with the Gershaim and the Shalisha Gedola. Because there, we got the flood coming, we got a big tragedy coming. But when the birth of a tzaddik takes place, it's a time of joy. So it doesn't really want to stress too much the idea of mechurveinu or mehishchoseinu, words which would imply that the world is about to be destroyed. An interesting negina which comes up only five times in the Torah is the merachok afulo, the double merachok. Sometimes you just hear Valkyrie singing a wild note, but it should really be a double note. So we had one last week. When the rebels were saying, would it not be better for us to go back to Mitzrayim? There's a double nigam there. And why is there a double nigam? Says the Binyan Shalom, because there are two meanings, there are two peshatim in the pasuk. There are a number of explanations here, but they wanted to go back for the gashmias, for their watermelons and their leeks and their onions, and they wanted to go back because of the ruchnias, because they wanted to divorce themselves from keeping to the mitzvahs. There are other pshatim as well, hasaf sufi sabutavo, and there was the spies, efes piazon. The first one in the Torah is in Taldus, where Yaakov Avinu wants the brachas from Yitzhak, his father, and he brings in wine. And it says there, Vayobei lo yayin, Vayobei lo, it's a double why. He says there are two meanings here. Because Rivka, it doesn't say she gave him any wine. Where did he get the wine from? So Chazal tell us that the Michal, the angel, gave him wine. So the Michal, the angel, gave him wine, and he gave his father wine. So there are two givings of wine. And that is why you've got two aginas. There's a similar one in Shemos, Lomos, Sase, Kolav, Odechot, not to give straw for the shibud, and also not to make bricks. There's a similar thing which the Bina Shalom talks about, of Asher lo tziva osom, back in Shemini where we had that word Kirvu, and Odom and Abihu died, and you got under the law, merchok kafula. Why? Says the Binyan Shlomo, because there were two averus which they committed. Yai m'sheicha al teish, don't drink wine, and secondly, ayyamo b'chalei kodesh. The Balatzurim says, they were not commanded to, and they were commanded not to. So there's a double perush here. There's also at the end of Matos, Vayikra lo Novach b'shemo. Novach has a double mercha, mercha kafura. He named the city after him. So the Talmud Dikra actually writes that it was named twice. It stopped being that name for a while, and it brings proof from Divrei Yomim and Shoftim to show that there were two periods of time when the city was called Novach. Another favourite musical note which we often have, but which we don't often have, and that's the Shalsheles. The Shalsheles is only four times in the Torah. And that too has an important significance, and Rabbeinu B'chai brings this out in quite a way. We have in Parshas Vayera, Vayismamo, where Lot did not want to leave easily Sodom, so he's harried, he lingered on, he procrastinated. He was worried because his money was tied up in the bank and he wanted to go to the bank in the morning and he didn't really want to go away in a hurry, so he delayed it. So Vayisma Mo is a shalsheles, which many Peirushim say is an ikum. It's like delaying or hesitation. Similarly, in Parshas Vayisorah, we've got with Eliezer, where Vayomer has a shalsheles, and the Peirushim say he really wanted his daughter to marry Yitzhak. He wasn't keen to do it and therefore he hesitated. We know with Yosef HaTzadik, when he was facing Potiphar's wife and tried to seduce him, and it says there Vayomoy with a shalsheles, and he refused. So some will say it was a hesitation, but others will say no, shalsheles can mean something else. Shalsheles means a chain. The Ksala Kabbalah writes this. Shalsheles means a chain, and in each one of these cases you get the idea of a chain. Lot was chained to his assets. Eliezer was chained to his idea of beauty. And here, Yosef HaTzadik was chained to the idea of Zoi Shteit. He doesn't debate it. Comes an Avera, I don't debate whether I should, whether I shouldn't. I've got the Pesat Halacha, I don't do it. And then afterwards I'll justify it. So he chained himself to the idea. And similarly with Moshe Rabbeinu by Yeshvot in Parashas Tzav, there's a Shalsheles. So the Beirushim say that really Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the Kohuna, but he didn't get it, but he was doing the Vayishvot to take his time over it. Or he was chained to the idea of Kohuna. So I once gave this talk somewhere else in the provinces, and I was approached by somebody at the end of the shiur, and I was asked, you didn't say anything about the Pozer. The Pozer? I realised I hadn't spoken about the Pozer. Maybe it's because in the Vilna Gaon's Perushim, he doesn't include Pozer. The second time out of time, he doesn't mention once Pozer. But I remembered that years ago, I had once seen an Al-Sheikh HaKodesh, which talks about the Pozer, and I couldn't remember where it was. So what do I do? So I started looking from the beginning of Bereshit, every Pozer, and going back to the Al-Sheikh. There are only three or four Pozers in the Torah, and a Pozer is to raise the voice and to make something sound with what you'd say in English, a cacophony of noise, something which is majestic. So the Al-Sheikh says this. I didn't find it. I went through the whole of Bereshit and Shemos, and I mentioned to my son-in-law, I don't know where this Al-Sheikh is, and he got out his laptop and typed in his software, Al-Sheikh, Hazer, and up it came. It's in Parshas Emma, on the subject of Yom Kippur. And there it says, Ach Be'al Solach Hodesh HaShemihi. So Ach, we say, is a meal, and Ach has a Hazer. Why has it got a Pozer, says the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh? Because this is a special day of the year when the Sotan is not working. It's a Hisorus. And the Rabbeinu B'chai says this as well, that the Pozer is an awakening, it's a Hisorus. And it's Hisorus to the fact that the Sotan is unemployed on this day, because the Gemara Sotan is 364, so there's one day in the year when he's not working, and that's Yom Kippur. So it's Hisorus, come on, do teshuva, this is your chance, the Sotan is out of work. Very nice, but if you look a few pesukim later, you get another pozer on an ach, and that's at the beginning of Sukkot. For the first day of Sukkot, it says, Ach b'chamisha also yom b'chodesh hashvi tochogu, you will be festive. So what's going on here? How can we therefore accept what the Al-Sheikh says? Shouldn't we have got a kasher on it? Because on the first day of Sukkot, which is festivity, which is not Yom Kippur, which is one of the other 364 days, we've got a pozer as well on the ach, which is a meal. So Chazal say that Yom Rishon of Sukkot is called Yom Rishon of Cheshbon of Omer. It's the first day when the new Cheshbon starts. So there's also a experience there regarding the Sotah. Be careful, everybody. He's going to get busy now. He's been off work for one day. He's slowly been going back, but today is the real first day when he's starting. So therefore, you've got on Yom Rishon of Cheshbon of Omer, you've got that Hesaurus as well. Elsewhere, you've got the Poser telling you a kind of drama. Like, for example, when Yitzchok discovers that he gave the bracha to Yaakov instead of Esau, then you've got two posers within three words. There's something going on here. Chazal say he felt Gehinnom falling under him. Well, there was this drama and noise. Or in Megillas Esther, you've got there was a big noise. All the girls wanted to go before Achashverosh, and they were all making a big fuss. And you got there the Kazma of Aslo. So Naro, they were chapping, they wanted to go ahead. What's with Esther? Oh, the Hagia, Tara, Esther, Vasa, Michael, go. Munach. She was holding back. Munach means to rest. She didn't want to go forward. She wasn't interested. And therefore you got the four Munachs. You also find that the Poser gives an idea of magnitude. In Parshas Noach, it talks about all the animals. All the non-kosher animals which Noah had to bring. Can you imagine how many non-kosher animals there are in the world? We can define more easily the kosher ones, but there's such a wide number. You've got there a poser. And also enough, all living creatures passed away in the flood, and there's a poser as well. And interestingly, in Parshas Shemini, which talks about all the non-kosher animals, the chol ha-beimor, you've got a poser as well. But it seems that when you go through the Torah and you see these positives, you've also got an idea of magnitude on a spiritual level. We read recently about Pesach Sheni. And there in Pesach Sheni, you've got a number of positives there, which we wonder, what's it there for? And it's, Le'asus ha-Pesach, Borishon, two words. What's the story of Pesach Sheni? People complain, Lama Nigara, we want to do the mitzvahs, we want our rights. And Hashem likes this very much when we say we want to keep the mitzvahs. It's something which shows our closeness and the lakas to our Shvarachu, which magnifies our attachment to Him even more. So you've got there two poses in two words. So the same Atame Hatame actually goes through all the Naginas and explains what the ideas are behind them. So that when you go through the Chumash, you get a whole new dimension when you are not reading the Bible, as the Rambam say, but studying the Torah, and you find that when you're looking at the Gittes, you can ask yourself, why is there a particular musical note for a particular word? Each one has a remez. When you get a Munach, Revia, or Revia, then it's usually the number of four. Kadmo v'Azlo, as we said, is getting up, or hurrying, doing something in advancement. Ger Shayim, related to the word Gorush or Berusha, which is divorced from something. Well, sometimes you get a double meaning, because it's like two commas at the top. The Mapach, which you get usually before a Pashto. Mapach usually means to turn something around, to change from the usual way. Back on the Ger Shayim, there's an interesting example. In the Isser of Chometz, it says, V'nichraso, and you've got a Ger Shayim. V'nichraso, why? Because you're being driven out. That's the Ger Shayim. Then sometimes you get a Zokef Katon. Very commonly you get a Zokef Katon, which is just two dots. Zokef means to be upright. Zokef Kefufin. Then you get the Zokef Godol, which is to more greatness. The Zokef Godol then has the one line and the two dots, which contrasts to the Zokef Katon. The Dargo Sevir, we spoke about breaking. The Shalshelis, we've spoken about hesitation, and the Tanishon usually refers to some idea of separation. So we can get a whole new idea when we're learning Chumash to see what is hidden in this language behind the words in the Neginas themselves, which are handed down from Moshe and Har Sinai. So let's conclude with something from this week's Edra. This week's Edra, Parshas Korach, says the Sefer Tamei HaTamim that the name Korach three times has a Zokef Katon. Not the simple two dots. Vayikach, Korach. Three times it has the Zokef Katon. What's Pshat? Korach, Zokef, he stands up, Katon. is a kleiner Mensch, he's a Gurnisht. That's Mazakev Kotel. But what's interesting is that we also have at the beginning of Whisk, etc., a mention of Dosan and Aviram, those notorious troublemakers. The Dosan and Aviram. So says the Sefer Tamei HaTamim, he says, when Dosan and Aviram are around, they're always there before everybody else when there's trouble. We had the Halar Geili and Pasha Shmos, Himashtem, in Bamidbar, in Beftar Vamon. Whenever there's trouble, they are there to stir it up. They're there before everybody else. I mean, what's in it for them to join up with Korach? They're not going to get the Kuna. They're not from the Shevet Levi. But they're always there, jumping ahead for trouble. So they get a Kazma V'Azla, but the Son Vavi Rom. And also later on, in the same Pasha this week, in Pasha Chavzai, you get a Kadmah V'Azmar Dosan Lavi Rom, and you also get it Pasha's Pinchos, in Perek Hathoth, Pasha Tes, with Dosan Lavi Rom. And you also get this with other Rishoyim. If we jump over to Pasha's Bonok and with Bilom, you've got a lot of Kadmah V'Azmars when the Rosha is rushing to do an Avera. Vayogor Moav, Vayom Moav, Vayishlach Manochim, Lechonor Orali, Vayei Lechu. It's constant Kadmah V'Azla, because the Rosha is rushing to do something. And when Bilam is saddling his donkey, Rashi says it was Ba'atzma, he did it himself. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, Rosha, you wicked man, Shabbat Padamcha of Rom Avidim, and Rom Avidim got there before you when it came to saddling a donkey. As it says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. At the Akedah, when Avraham Avidim saddled his donkey, and what are the musical notes there? Kadmah V'Azla. Vayashkem Abraham Baboker. The Shem Rabbani Joseph, it says Vayashkem Abraham Baboker three times. It says it by Sodom, but it's just there, Amercha Tipcho, Vayashkem Abraham. When it says with Hagar, he had to drive her out. It's with Munachs. He didn't really want to drive her out. He only did so because Sarah wanted that. So it's Munach, Munach, Vayashkem Abraham. But with the Akedah, when he's carrying out the Tzivur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kadmah V'Azla, he jumps to it without hesitation. And also, if you look at the Midas of Avraham Avinu at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, how does he entertain his guests? V'Echol Pas Lechem, V'Yikach Chemo, V'Yikach Ben Bokor, Kadmah V'Azla, Kadmah V'Azla. He's running, he's huffing, he's not delegating much, he's doing the things himself. So what do we see from here? Chazal tell us that the way that the Rishoyim run to do their Averas, we have to be running to do our mitzvahs. Onu mashkimim v'heim mashkimim. Onu mashkimim v'direi Torah v'heim mashkimim v'direi Metelim. Onu rotzim v'heim rotzim. They run and we run. We run, they run. Onu rotzim v'cheil amabob v'heim rotzim v'deh shachas. So we get coming out from all these naginas something which is so significant. Says the Rabbeinu B'chai in Parshas Vayeshev, Sherhari Metocha Tamim Sheva Torah, from those musical notes in the Torah, on Levinim Mashalo Nichtav Bo, we will understand things which are not actually written. So it's not just a punctuation exercise in commas and full stops and apostrophes. This is something much, much more. Kenyan HaTenuas Sheva Odom Shemitocha Meda Kavanos Nibo, by the body language of a person, you will understand how that person is thinking and how that person is behaving. And he says this in Vayeshev on the Shalshelis. So this is an exploration which has no limit, and it's fascinating and exciting that when we do our Shleim and Rechot Targum, pause a minute and we ask, why has it got this particular note? Because it's of some significance and it's giving us some important message.